Blog Talk Radio.
Our community have become toxic waste, and those in high places are planning to remove the toxic waste. And while we flitter and live this frivolous, foolish life, seeking pleasure from our bodies and pleasure from the bodies of others, and seeking to be famous and wealthy in this world, to be used by the power to make our people think that if you go to school and work hard, you too can be successful. That's a lie. I don't give a damn how many of you go to school and work hard. They select a few out of the mass to deceive the rest that this house is not your house. And you are going to have to think about a house of your own, because white America, listen to me good, man, cannot support you any longer. White America cannot give jobs to her millions of unemployed, much less ours. Did you hear me? Elijah Muhammad told us in the 60s we should pool our resources and get farmland, because there is no freedom without land. You remember those teachings? He said that the time of separation had come, and that we are going to have to think about building a nation of our own. You, in the 60s, you were ready to say it's nation time. You don't say that no more, because you have been deceived into thinking that inclusion into this is your salvation. This that you want to be included in has no future. None.
Greetings and assalamu alaikum. Welcome to tonight's edition of the Time to Leave Blog Talk Radio Show. This is the show for those of you who are calling in, or maybe calling in for the first time. This is the show where it is made up and compiled of members of the Nation of Islam who not only recognize that it's time for us to separate and to build our own communities and take control of those communities, but we're members who want to take the discussion just past the talking points and actually strategize on how we can make this happen, how we can organize, how like minds can come together to build, control communities, to pool resources, to build infrastructure, to plan, and to build foundations on how we can make this happen. In every movement, there's always people at the forefront. There's always people behind the scenes. There's always people that are moving out on something before someone else. We don't claim to be the only Muslims doing that, but we definitely are striving to be those. So for those of you who tune in every week, you know that we're going to have another dynamic show. And this show, we're blessed, as usual, with our theme to talk about building communities, controlling communities. And, you know, our theme in the Time to Leave movement is either you control the community where you currently live, or if you cannot do that, go to or move to a community that is within your ability to control. So tonight, we are blessed to have a brother who, first of all, he's noteworthy because he is a son of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And that's credibility enough. But in addition to that, our brother is also a past Supreme Secretary of the Nation of Islam. And so now our brother is the founder of the Detroit Mecca Project, and he's going to be our guest. But before I bring him on, I'm going to read a little bit about him on his website. His website is thedetroitmeccaproject.com, and we'll repeat that again just in case you didn't get it. And so this is about the founder of the Detroit Mecca Project, Brother Kamal Muhammad. 7 years ago, I made the personal decision to invest in Detroit. There were beautiful homes left abandoned by a dire economy and a broken spirit. But I know the resilience of Detroit. I recognize the value and the opportunity that exists for home buyers, homeowners, and their surrounding communities. As Detroit makes her comeback, I am proud to say that I never stopped believing in this great city or the people that reside there. So without delay, I am going to open your mic, Brother Kamal. As-salamu alaykum, my dear brother.
Wa alaykum salam, Brother Carlton, and also to your wonderful listeners. I'm honored.
All praises due to Allah. Yes, sir, the honor is ours, and we're excited about tonight's show. Brother Kamal, as I was saying in the show, we focus on building communities and controlling communities. So we have, and we've heard I will say a lot, but we heard a lot of mention about the Detroit Mecca Project. And me personally, I wasn't able to make Savior's Day this year, so I did not attend it. So I'm truly excited about getting a chance to have a personal description from the founder. So so basically, brother, we can start out, if you could just describe who and what is the Detroit Mecca Project?
Yes, sir. First, I want to just give praise. All praise is due to Allah. I bear witness that there none deserves to be worshipped beside Allah and that Muhammad is his messenger. And as a student of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, I can never thank Allah enough for intervening in our affairs and the person of Master Farah Muhammad, and I thank him for raising our teacher and our guide, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and I can't thank them both enough for leaving their great reminder for us, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. I greet you all in peace. As-salamu alaykum.
Now, alaykum salam.
The Detroit Mecca Project came about from me looking at this crash that the United States went through back in 2008 to 2010. And as you all know, the real estate market before that was just booming across the country, and it just collapsed at that time.
Right.
Detroit was the epicenter of, I call it the epicenter of this problem, because it had all three problems in one place, because the automobile industry was collapsing. As you know, several of the automobile companies had to get bailouts by the government. The banks were collapsing, and real estate was collapsing. So Detroit suffered from all of that, and to the point where you all may be aware that the city actually went bankrupt. So while all this was going on, I, being a former investment banker and studying the markets and that kind of thing, I realized that whenever you see things collapsing like that, economic collapse, there's always an opportunity if a wise person takes advantage of that. So I went to Detroit. I live in Chicago. I still do. But I went to Detroit, which is 4 hours away. Of course, I investigated online and everything, and I saw these beautiful homes. And you all probably saw them too. $1,000, $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 homes. So I said, let me go see if this is for real. So in 2010, I went there. I had contacted a real estate agent, and I bought a beautiful six-bedroom mansion, 4,500 square feet home, for $5,000.
Oh,
I went and looked at the house. I was amazed, brother. I went inside the house. It was, I mean, painted nice. The floors were shining. It needed a new furnace and a new hot water heater, but, I mean, everything else was beautiful.
Wow.
I felt so happy. I said, this is it. I had my key. I locked the door. I left, head back to Chicago, came back a week later, and this is where my learning experience started. Door was kicked in, wires pulled off the wall. My first learning experience of Detroit, and that is security. You've got to have security.
Wow.
Over the years, I took 3 years to really figure it out. You know, you have to have security. You have to have financing, whether that comes from the banks, which were not giving financing at that time, or whether it comes from investors. You've got to have financing because it takes money to rehab a house. So I had to get the security together. I had to get the financing together, and then I had to get the buyers because not everybody who wanted to buy in Detroit while it was bankrupt.
Right.
I was a lone voice saying, let's buy in Detroit. I would talk about it, and people would look at me like I was crazy. But one thing that kept in my mind as a member of the Nation of Islam is that Master Farah Muhammad came to Detroit. He made himself known in Detroit. And I felt that there was a reason for that. Those of us also know that in our Supreme Wisdom book, Michigan is the only state mentioned in the Supreme Wisdom, but there's a reason for that, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt that this city had a purpose for us. On top of it, we've heard the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan many times say that Detroit is our Mecca and Chicago is our Medina. So building on all of these things, I said, well, maybe this is something we need to start buying and making our own community up here because the property prices were so low. And so I said, well, maybe if we focused our wealth into this city, what could we do? I always thought that our problem as black people is our wealth. We have a lot of wealth, but it's spread out all over the place.
Yes, sir.
It's not put into areas that really help us all the time, and it's so spread out it doesn't really create a benefit for us. So I said if we could focus this money of our people, even if it was just the Nation of Islam, if we focused it in Detroit, if we bought up some of these low-priced property, then get the assets and wealth from that, develop our own community, help and guide the people, the brothers and sisters that are there suffering, bring them into a better understanding and give them a vision that they can move forward in, then I think this is what would benefit us as a nation, benefit our people, and maybe what Allah meant for us.
Yes, sir.
So I've been for the past few years talking about this to us at Savior's Day. I've gotten many people to buy, good people to invest with me. And now, you know, people are buying in Detroit all over. I mean, we're getting people from China, India, Canada's right across the river. And let me just say what's important about Detroit, because we've got a lot of cities in the United States where they have some low-priced property. But Detroit is a major city. There's 800,000 people there now. That's a major city. The automobile industry is still strong there. It's I think it's the third or the fourth largest port city in the United States. It's right across the river from Canada. I can get on a rowboat and row to Canada.
Yes, sir.
I mean, and that's a very important thing to know. And I think something like, I forgot how much percentage of trade, but the majority of trade to the United States from Canada comes through Detroit. It's a major city. Now, also, this is what's important about us and the separation. It's already 82% black.
Wow. Yes, sir.
So Allah has already separated us there. White people are trying to get in, But this city is already 82% black. All we need to do is go in and make our presence known, organize, and take advantage of the situation. Property's there now. You can buy a beautiful three-bedroom, four-bedroom home for $20,000. When I tell that to people in New York or Los Angeles or San Francisco, and I've got buyers from these cities, they can't believe it, and they're ready to buy two, three, four, five homes. And I say that's what we should do. Even if you can't move to Detroit, buy a home or two or three and rent them out. Every home should be worth the I'll say it like this. The median home price in the United States for a three or four bedroom home is over $200,000. You can buy a home in Detroit for 1/10 of that. And I said to my good brother who's an investor with me, I say it like this. If I get a shiny gold coin that's worth $1,300 an ounce, and I get it's an ounce gold coin, but I get digging the ground and I find a big old rock, dusty rock that's got an ounce of gold in it, and I sell it to you for $130 an ounce, 1/10, who wouldn't buy that? Because you know it's got an ounce of gold in there. It's worth $1,300, but if you buy it for $130, look how much you gain it. That's the situation in Detroit right now with the housing.
Wow.
You're buying houses for $20,000 that any other place would be worth $200,000. And we have to take advantage of that. So that's the basic program we have with the Detroit Mecca Project. We want to go in, we want to build of course, communities. We want to create educational systems for our people. We want to create businesses for our people. And I mean, business can start from the bottom up. Just when you buy housing, everything can revolve around it. You've got construction workers. You've got painters. You've got exterminators even. You've got lawn care people. You've got restaurants and laundromats and cleaners to support the people that live in the housing. I mean, then you've got the school system that has to support it. So the whole thing revolves around the community that you develop. So that's what we're planning with the Detroit Mecca Project. That's in a nutshell.
Exciting.
I hope that didn't go too long.
No, sir. We want to get as much information as possible. And before I continue, I don't want to be remiss in thanking our brother Leroy. He introduced me to you. He did the hookup. He hooked us up. So, brother Leroy, if you're listening, thank you very much. And so, basically, you really described the outstanding investment opportunity available in Detroit. Could you describe the scope of the Detroit Mecca Project's involvement or plans or in helping believers or like-minded people form communities? Because I see the opportunity for people in the area and out the area to get an outstanding deal where they can either move and have a very affordable quality home. But if you can describe, because a lot of us, we move, black people move, particularly we move to where jobs are and where money is. We've had a lot of discussions like that on the time to leave. But how does the Detroit Mecca Project envision, and how do you assist forming some Muslim communities or black people with like minds?
Well, and first I want to thank Brother Leroy also. He is a contractor and builder in Detroit. And I think he was one of the first people, he and Brother William were partners, and they're one of the first people that I talked to when I decided to invest in Detroit. And they have a wealth of knowledge and a wealth of experience. So I want to thank him and recognize him as well. But to answer your question, what I envision is very big, but it's going to need a lot of help. Because Detroit actually did basically collapse. There are some big investors now that are trying to turn it around. You all may have heard of a gentleman by the name of Dan Gilbert. He owns the Cavaliers. He also owns Quicken Loans. He bought, I believe, 50 of the top iconic buildings in the downtown area. He focused his wealth in the downtown area. He stabilized the downtown area. He's got a company that has about 50 different divisions, all of them focused on real estate in some way or another in Detroit. He's working with the Detroit Land Bank. And why am I saying this? Number one, we may have heard lessons from our leader, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, say, study the white man. He's successful. Well, this man is successful. What is he doing with his money? He bought his property in Detroit. He moved his headquarters, Quicken Loans headquarters, to Detroit. He invited other companies to make their headquarters in Detroit, and they came as well. So they're focused in the downtown area. But I looked at the inner city, the housing, and I said, well, look, let's let him take the downtown area and make it nice for us because we can go in, create communities, and handle that. They don't really know what to do with the inner city right now. They're hoping that they gradually move in and move us out. That's my impression, because they're putting a lot of laws in place now that seem to really be difficult for the people that live in Detroit and also for some investors. And it's kind of – it may put a little discouraging situation there for those of us who are not enduring is, I guess, the best
way. So you
said
the loans are difficult to work with, what were you saying?
Loans are difficult in Detroit, and the reason why is because with the new laws, the banking laws that they made, it's very difficult to get a loan for a house that's under $50,000. Well, most of the homes in Detroit are under $50,000, yes. So
is that
the loans are difficult
to
come by.
It doesn't secure? Is that a security issue from the house securing the loan? Is that kind of issue?
I believe it has to do with the costs involved in preparing the loan. The costs outweigh the benefit to the bank. In other words, you know, they have to spend so much money to make the loan work and that kind of thing. So it's a $50,000, anything less than a $50,000 loan becomes not very profitable for the bank, the way the new laws are.
Wow.
That is one of the major problems. Now, what the banks in Detroit are doing now to counteract that situation is they're giving loans for the purchase of the house as well as the rehab. And there's an active movement from the banking, from the government, from Dan Gilbert of Quicken Loans. There's an active movement to inflate the prices of the housing in Detroit. That's another reason why we need to buy now, because they want all of these homes to be over $50,000. If we ride that wave, then we will benefit greatly. If we stay back,
that
then we're
like
waiting to buy homes at a much higher price.
Yes, sir. Sorry to interrupt you, but as I listen to what you're saying, that seems like a opportunity for enterprising brothers and sisters to create some kind of financial instruments or some kind of financial entity that can fund low cost loans. You know, $50,000.
Absolutely.
That seems like an opportunity. So
absolutely.
Is that within the scope of your discussions and some of your planning?
Well, you know, we started by help. We knew that there was a problem. We knew that people did not have funds to go in and buy the homes and rehab them and things like that. So we started by giving loans ourselves, doing seller financing and doing the rehabs for the buyers. We could only do that for a short while. We basically stopped. We grandfathered some people who started with us, some investors that started with us. But basically, we kind of stopped that program because it was really not as profitable for us. It was putting us in a hole because there's so many costs involved just doing the work in Detroit. But to answer your question, I was speaking to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan one time about this, and I told him the difficulties I was having. And what he told me is, and which is this is what keeps me going, he said, well, brother, don't worry. Allah brought this message to you. He will send people to help you. And so I believe, like you say, there are going to be some of us that hear me talking and create these instruments that we need, these businesses that we need, these financing arms that we need. I can't do everything, but other people will come along and see a niche that they can fit in to make everything work. So anyone listening that has that kind of knowledge and experience, come on and let's get started.
It's on that note, this seems like a good segue for me to mention. Brothers and sisters, our guest is Brother Kamal Muhammad, if you just tuned in, of the Detroit Mecca Project. He's been talking about the project, his inspiration, and why he started it, and the current state of real estate opportunities in Detroit. If you're finding this conversation interesting or you have any questions, please press the 1 on your keypad, and I will recognize you and bring you in for your question or your comment. Yes, sir. So, Brother Kamal, I'm fine. Oh, wow. Well, let's see. We have a couple of people who find it interesting, want to ask some questions. So, Brother, I'm going to go ahead and bring these people on.
Yes, sir.
Caller with the last 4 digits, 6919. What's your name and where are you calling from?
This is Brother Rockman. I'm in Phoenix, Arizona right now. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa-alaykum salam, Brother Rockman. I know Brother Rockman very well.
How you doing, Brother Kamal?
I'm doing quite well, Brother Rockman. How are you, my brother?
I'm just fine. Thanks a lot. I want to thank you, the host, for taking my call. I just want to say a few little things. I'll be in Detroit next week. Brother Kamal, I just got my license renewed in Detroit about a month ago. I just bought a piece of property in the area that you mentioned because I used to live on this street on Calvert.
Yes, sir.
I just want to say this. The property was on the market with HUD. It's a two-family flat for $6,000. And so I've been praying to Allah to give me the right deal. So I bid on the house. The people had just moved out the house. It's got all the fixtures in the house. It's got 2 separate hot water tanks. It's got 2 boilers. That's no problem. It's got a finished basement with a bar in the basement. 2 large living rooms with fireplace on each floor. Got a brand new garage in the back. So
on Calvert Street?
On Calvert.
Brother Rockman, that's on Calvert Street?
On Calvert Street, brother.
Brother Rockman, Brother Rockman, I think you got my house.
Well, Allah gave it to me, brother. Allah gave it to me.
Wow.
All praise is due to Allah.
Listen, please. I mean, you know me. You know my thinking somewhat. So I've been talking to the brothers in Detroit because a couple of weeks ago, I'm going to get my license placed downtown with Downtown Realty. They're doing a lot of stuff with a lot of investors all over the country. And so anyway, I linked on to the city site, and I was clicking different links. So every day they send me information. So about 2 weeks ago, they had a program out here on the west side of Detroit, and they were talking about rent-to-own, other programs. Detroit Land Bank was out there. So I tried to call some people that I knew. I even called the girls from the mosque. I said, listen, brother, you know anyone, even they don't have a need for it, go out there to see what the program is about. So this friend of mine who's a Palestinian, his sister is the congresswoman who took over John Conyers' district, Tlaib. But anyway, her brothers I'll deal with. And so I'm trying to get the believers to get interested in these various programs because also in Detroit, Brother Kamal, about 3 weeks ago, they had a program where you can earn to learn, like a journeyman's program for all the trades. Because if the Muslims all over the country would take advantage of these trades, regardless whatever else you may be doing, maybe your children want to be a carpenter, a plumber, electrician, a sheet metal worker, a roofer, whatever the case may be. That way, if you got every mosque in every city, major city, we can go back and rebuild these towns ourselves. If we say our ancestors built the pyramids and the Sphinx, what are we doing with God's time? We you have to be qualifying ourselves. The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad says, you have to qualify yourself. You have to qualify yourself. Get you a skill, build some sort of skill that you can take anywhere in the world. So we have to.
Right. Let me ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. And you know, our show is all about community building, building new communities and controlling communities. And my question to you is, what is your plans with this house in terms of, number one, personal, and then number two, the neighborhood, and what community building opportunities do you have by purchasing this property?
Well, number one, I bought this property. Well, Allah blessed me to get this property because I wanted to set up a base in Detroit. Now, I just talked with a commission in Georgia, and they have a reciprocatory state where I can get my license in Georgia, too. So my next move is get my license down there also and work with Brother Earl, who's a broker down there. But now in this Calvert Street, Brother Kamal, they've got about four or five units right there in the same block. So my next move is to buy all the units. Now, I got a meeting that I have to meet with this brother from the church. What he does, he places returning inmates in the community in different housing. Now, I'm not necessarily want to put them in my house because this is a real nice place. But I want to meet with him when I come in the city, maybe next Tuesday, to see exactly what he's doing, who he's doing with, who's paying for these services, and how do I get paid, or how do we get paid, or whoever want to get involved get paid. So I'm going to meet with
brother,
him like that. Now, yes, sir.
Brother Carlton and Brother Rockman, if I may say, Brother Rockman is a former Detroiter. You lived in Detroit, is that correct, Brother Rockman?
All my living days, brother.
Right, right. So he lived in Detroit, and what he's not saying, now I own about six homes already. My company owns six homes on Calvert Street. What he's not telling you, which you should have, Brother Rahman, is this area used to be a Nation of Islam area. This used to be a Nation of Islam community.
That's what I'm talking about. That's significant.
The street that borders this, the major street that borders this area is called Linwood Street. And it's also called the Honorable Elijah Muhammad Boulevard.
Okay.
Three blocks
away
from this area.
So the Leroy was in the show. He talked about that.
Yes, sir. And about two blocks from this area is the high school that Mother Tynetta went to school at. So this is our area. So my plan, this is where I have eight homes in that area. My plan is to rebuild this area for us. The homes there, like Brother Rockman says, on this particular street, there's a lot of two-family flats, but they're big. They're like 3,000-4,000 square foot homes. What I'm doing is converting the two-family flats back to single-family homes. So we're making 6- and 7-bedroom homes, and the reason why is because two blocks away from here is an area called the Boston Edison area. If you ever looked at it, believe whoever's listening on the line can look up the Boston Edison Historic District in Detroit, and you'll see these $400,000 and $500,000 homes. So we're buying homes, as Brother Rockman says, for much lower prices, but the goal is to build these homes up so that we buy them, and maybe we might have to put $30,000-$40,000 into the house. But if the house is worth $200,000 after we're done, that's where we get our wealth. So that's my plan.
Wow.
And I'm sure Brother Rockman has some great plans also.
Yes, sir. Well,
praise
like
be to Allah.
Brother
Rockman?
Yes, I just want to say just one thing before I close. Brother Kamal, I'd like to meet
yes,
with you or give you a call when I get in Detroit because, I mean, I've been in the real estate business since 1976. I used to own like 20-some apartment buildings, commercial property. I had a building with a cell phone tower. And so my whole purpose that Allah blessed me to live is to help especially believers who believe in the Most Honorable Islam, who believe in the minister, who believe in the Nation of Islam, who have been sacrificing all their living days since they joined the nation. These are the people who are supporters of the nation that I want to give my knowledge and whatever I have to so they don't have to go through the trial and error and the landmines that I've gone through. Because, Brother Kamal, let me
yes,
say this,
sir.
Please. If I'd have had two or three people with me years ago, we would have downtown Detroit ourselves, because I was downtown Detroit. And we would be giving Detroit to the ministers. right now. I believe that because I met with him about 20-some years ago. About the same thing you're talking about, Brother Kamal,
now. Well, all things in due time, Brother Rockman. I mean, I think there's a plan behind this, and it will work out for our best benefit. But, Brother Rockman, if you see any more of those homes for $6,000 or $10,000 or whatever over there, let me know right away, okay?
after I get to look at it. Okay.
That's what you do a lot.
Thank you,
Brother Rockman.
Right.
Well, alaikum salam, sir. So there you have it, listeners. That was a serious testimony. Serious testimony. So there's real opportunities available for those of us who are in a position to invest, start a new life, and who want to be in that traditional Muslim stronghold and area of Detroit. Brother Kamal, we have another caller. Caller with the last four digits 0883. What is your name and where are you calling from?
Assalamu alaikum, Brother Dwayne, 8X, calling out of Peoria, Illinois.
Wa alaikum salam,
Brother Dwayne.
Yes, sir. I'm happy that I'm able to hear you again. I think me and my wife had came to that Mecca Project workshop a couple years ago at one of the Savior Days. And,
it was
very interesting. But as you was talking, you know, I'm living here in Peoria, the city that they called the worst economic city for black people a couple years ago. And, you know, just as you were describing how the houses are pretty much low right now. And you were talking about that waiver, you know, they're really trying to increase it. And basically where the black people can't buy those homes, but you see, you know, white people, they're fixing up the downtown area and they're slowly trying to push the black people out of this area. And I just wanted, my question for you is, I wanted to know, do you have like a website or blueprint that shows this Detroit Mecca Project? Because I think it'd be really beneficial for just some of our people right here in Peoria just to see that, you know, what you could do if you just start buying some of these houses. I mean, they got the houses right now here in Peoria for just like you're talking about in the black community, like $20,000. They're really trying to give it away, but the black people really don't want it or they don't see the importance in trying to, you know, get those houses back. But, you know, white people really trying to build that downtown, and you could tell they're building it up, making it look pretty, rebuilding what they call the warehouse district, putting in these condominium homes or apartments. And I just see it. I said pretty soon those houses that we looking at $20,000, they're going to be $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 in a minute.
Yes, sir. I think you're right. I mean, Peoria, I believe, is the second largest city in Illinois.
Yes, sir.
So I do think that, you know, there is opportunity there. My focus, as you know, is on Detroit, and I focus there because of the reasons I gave. But there are other cities that have similar opportunities. I don't think as great as Detroit, but, you know, Baltimore comes to mind. You know, what you say with Peoria probably comes to mind. I just, the way you asked, do I have a blueprint? Unfortunately, brother, I don't have a blueprint. I kind of, you know, asked a lot to help me with this, and I came up with this plan, and I did kind of like you were taught, you know, we're taught that Allah, you know, he first, when he created the universe, he started with motion. Then he put things in order, you know. So that's how I kind of did it. I didn't have a full plan. I had an idea. But first thing I did is I went to Detroit. I bought some property. I created motion. You know, I did something. Then once I bought the property, then I started figuring out what's the best way to protect it, what's the best way to handle it, and how to get things in order. It took me a good 3 years, you know. And I'm still learning. So, the other thing is every city is different. Every city has their own dynamics. So what's going on in Detroit might be similar to Baltimore, Peoria, and other cities like that, but it is always a local dynamic that you have to know that's important. But the main thing, brother, is just make a move, buy it. It'll work out, you know? And get your unity together, you know? Again, I would say this, you know, don't forget, even if you buy in Peoria, buy something in Detroit. Because you can live in more than one place. White people have property all over. One white person can have they buy in other countries, let alone in other states. So we have to think like that. Spread yourself out, but focus your people in a specific area.
Yes,
you
sir.
Even if you live in, like, I have investors who are in California. I have investors who are in New York. I have investors who are in Atlanta. I have investors who are in Chicago. I mean, they live there, but they have invested and bought property in Detroit because they know that the opportunity is huge. And if we're all focusing our resources in one area, we can make an impact and control that area. So that's kind of what I'm thinking. I don't know if I answered your question, but I'm trying.
No, I understand. I mean, you made a good point on send you helpers, and I'm one of them people that I believe that I'm currently over a whole little urban agriculture apprenticeship program, and over this last little year is really boom here in the city. So you know, I'm really understanding what you're saying. So but you know, sometimes I'm one of the people that, you know, if you're doing what you're doing, you know, you should document it just so that, you know, sometimes, like you said, we can get people to move to Detroit, but you know, sometimes it's good to be able to, you know, show some people, you know, it on paper.
I understand.
You know,
and by the way, we do have a website.
Do you have a website, brother?
Yes, sir. I didn't answer that question fully. The website, as Brother Carlton said earlier, is www.thedetroitmeccaproject.com. So please visit the
website. Can we email you there? Is that correct? Can we contact you there, Brother Kamal?
Yes, sir. You can leave messages there that will get to me, and then I can email you back.
All right. Okay. I missed the first about 5 minutes, so I mean, probably said that that time. Well, I appreciate
you. We're glad
you
made it in, Brother Duane.
You know, you keep it going, brother, and you know, inspiring, man. And that's the
you
type
also,
of story
Brother Duane.
You need in the nation.
You also, Brother Duane.
Brother Duane, I have a question
to,
for
I've
you before you go.
Right.
Yes, sir.
So, and I'm going to follow up with another question. How strong and active is the Muslim community in Peoria?
Well, I'm going to tell you, we have a very small study group. I want to say it's probably about 8 or 9 believers. I'm currently, you know, I currently do a lot of little work in our study group as far as Wednesday nights and Friday nights. And then, you know, I'm really active out here with this program I call, Forming the Webs with those food buying clubs or, you know, working in the Muhammad Economic Group.
Yes,
thank
you for sharing.
Really good, brother.
Well, the reason why I asked that question, you already know that our whole show is focused on community building, and we know that the minister said and found at the Day of Atonement 2018, separation of death, and that was Dr. Ridgely's inspiration for starting the Time to Leave movement. And so we basically are trying to get believers to realistically look at the probability and the possibility of building real communities, you know. And so the minister mentioned several places. He mentioned Detroit and Tuskegee, and we have the farm here in Georgia. So I always, and I want listeners to know that you have to assess it's important to invest in property, to have a diversified portfolio, because you can make a living, you can make some money, and you can gain your financial freedom, which a lot of us don't have. But at the same time, we want to look at the feasibility of us building communities that we can control and defend, because if the white man's world falls, our strength is not our virtual community or how well we can, you know, contact each other and come around and save us there. Our strength would be how many Muslims are in this particular area building an economy and homes. And so that's what's inspiring about what Brother Kamal is doing. He's in a traditional neighborhood. There's opportunity, and it's one that the minister has put emphasis on. So not to discourage you to do anything in Peoria, yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. Well, thank you for your call, and please continue to listen. And
yes, sir.
Let's see. We have another caller. Let's see. Caller with the last four digits, 6515. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Assalamu alaikum. This is Brother Leroy from Detroit, Michigan.
Brother Leroy.
Wa alaikum salam, the great Brother Leroy.
Assalamu alaikum, Brother Kamal and Brother Carlton.
Glad you were able to get online, brother.
Yes, sir. Well, you know I wasn't going to miss this, Brother Kamal. I have a two-part question, Brother Kamal. And the first question is based on a conversation that I had with your brother, Brother Minister Rasul Muhammad, back in 2007. And he was describing to me and a couple of other brothers when we were talking about trying to establish Muslim communities. He said the Honorable Elijah Muhammad used to teach the believers about the science of how to do it, about how to build these communities. And he basically was describing about starting at a position and building out. So I was wondering if you have ever heard of anything like that, and if you can kind of share what maybe the actual methodology for building these kind of Muslim communities and how we did it prior to 1975. And then the second question is based on what we're doing now. At what point do you believe that what the buying of real estate will coalesce into establishing communities like we see in Dearborn and Hamtramck?
Yes, sir. Well, I will say this. I happen to, as you all know, I grew up in Chicago, and I actually grew up in a community that was built by my father. He bought property in an area just not too far from the mosque, maybe about 3 miles from the mosque. I don't know how many homes he bought there, but let's say he bought 100 homes. Some of them he rented out to believers. He also rented out to lost founds. And a lot of them, he had a way for them to rent to own. And so they ended up owning homes eventually and gaining wealth. And this community became the south side of Chicago. Banks, black banks thrived over there. Restaurants and businesses formed there. But it started with the purchase of these homes and putting people in these homes that were like-minded, meaning people that wanted to have a secure, safe home. A lot of them, some of them even came from the projects, you know, moved out of the projects and moved into these homes. And it was their first home that they ever owned. So that inspired me when I first started buying in Detroit. I think I may have mentioned this to you, Brother Leroy, that I didn't think of this on my own. I was basically following the example that my father had set out there. And
yes, sir.
As you know, I just started buying homes and you know, either renting them to believers or lost founds or selling them so that we could try to get a community going. Now, as you know, Brother Leroy, I did it in a scattershot kind of manner, and I looked at it like I was throwing darts at a map, you know. And you used to laugh at me, I know, but I feel like this. If I throw five dots in an area on a map, they're going to be scattered. But let me throw 500 there, and
right.
I'm going to start filling up that spot. So that was
right.
my theory. And over time, I've even
stumbled on these areas that you know I'm interested in, like the old Muslim area around Linwood and that kind of thing, and that's a very important area for me. And of course, I always wanted to buy by the mosque because that's what my father did. So I've come up with another area, which I don't want to mention on the phone right now, but I think will have even more importance for us. But think like this, Brother Leroy, and this we've mentioned too, is that we can go, it doesn't have to be a complete Muslim community where every house is a Muslim. If we have 4, 5, 6 on a block and we influence that block, we form block clubs, then we have created a Muslim block, you know? And if we do that within a square mile, then that square mile becomes a Muslim square mile, you know? And that's how I kind of look at it, too. And you asked another question. I lost my thought. What was the final point you asked, Brother Leroy?
I was asking at what point, and I think you just talked about it, when do you see this coalescing coming together from Muslims coming to a specific city like Detroit and buying individually? How does that form into community?
I did kind of answer it. Yes, I think it's gonna slowly happen. As you may know, things are picking up now. It's not just me buying property in Detroit. Detroit Mecca Project is not just me. It's an umbrella kind of thing. So we have other people that are buying property in Detroit. I can even mention some names, and you know them, Brother Leroy. You've got Brother Hendricks, who has several properties. You've got many properties, Brother Leroy. I mean, there are many people buying property in Detroit. It's not just me, but we all have that same idea. Some of you got it from me. Some of you got it on your own because you were already there, like you, Brother Leroy. But we all are working for the same purpose. So that even though it may look like, if you look at a map and I'm shooting my darts at a certain area, it may look like I've only got 10 or 20 darts there, or 50 or 100 or whatever. But if you look at yours, you've got maybe 50 or 100. And then Brother Heinrich maybe has 50. So we're building up this area, whether we know it or not. We're building up this area and making it our community. That's how I think it's going to happen. And I think it might take another 5 years, but I think we're going to look around, Brother Leroy, and in 5 years we're going to be quite surprised at the progress we've made.
All praise is due to Allah.
Well, praise be to Allah. Thank you for those very probing questions, Brother Leroy. And if you don't have any more questions, I'm going to listen, one more caller. We're down to the last 6 minutes, and I want to try to get all the callers on. Okay, so caller with the last four digits, 3647. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Yes, sir, Brother Carter. This is Brother Sean Muhammad. I'm calling from Philadelphia, Mississippi.
Assalamu alaikum, Brother Sean. How you doing?
Brother Kamal, I just wanted to say thank you for the presentation and having the foresight and letting Allah use you to have an avenue where we can look into Detroit. I and some brothers in the mosque, Brother Hollis and Brother Lewis and several ones, we design a vessel group out of Jackson, and we own the building that the mosque is leasing from us, the sanctuary and everything, and we own the subdivision, three of us, brother, of the United Investment Group, and own the subdivision in Philadelphia we're developing. And
that's wonderful.
Yes, sir. We have 36 lots left, and we have 40 set. There's houses there already. Who's behind it? In Philadelphia, Mississippi, in the belly of the beast where I'm from. But I'm just saying, but we're also looking at things that branch out to lean, you know, we put our property up to do more projects. And we have an investment meeting last night where we have a commercial lender broker in the group. It's a Christian brother, or a Hebrew brother. And I'm going to reach out to you, Brother Carter. I'm going to get everything from him. And maybe we can just talk offline. But Yes, definitely. I want to appreciate you, brother, because we in the nation have to buy in to self-preservation. We don't have to. It should be all over the Detroit. A lot of times, the problem with a lot of believers in Detroit is not falling into it, because when you're in the, midst of it, you can't see. That's why I can see Jackson in a different light than the
brother. You are truly, brother. You are truly guided, because you're seeing the situation as it actually is. It's like you have been hearing my conversation. Because you're exactly right. And what's your name again, brother?
Brother Sean Muhammad, sir.
Brother Sean Muhammad. I feel like Allah is sending me help to you, brother.
Well,
I can vouch for Brother Sean. I actually traveled to Mississippi, and it was a personal trip to Mississippi, but I was blessed to meet Brother Sean and some of the brothers in his investment group, Brother Hollis. And it was an unusual blessing to see so many brothers with like minds and so focused. And in my previous comment, I was saying about Brother Duane to Brother Duane in Peoria, you know, it's important to have. I asked him about his the believers there. Well, Brother Sean would be a person to get in contact with, because he was able to come together and pull together a team of Muslims that are not just investors. They're investors, contractors, and visionaries, and they have a plan where they can really control the area where they live. So definitely, he knows what he's talking about.
I'm very proud of what you're doing in Mississippi, Brother Sean. It sounds like a wonderful thing, and you're leading and showing the believers of what we can do by pooling our resources together.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have to, like you say, you're working with a I don't know if you said a Christian brother or a Hebrew Israelite, or I don't remember, but we don't have to just do everything with Muslims, because as we're taught in the lessons, they may not know they're Muslims yet, but they're Muslims. So we're
yes, sir, brother, come on.
Yes. So thank you, brother.
We also host it in the building where the mosque. We have a restaurant, Sankofa Kitchen, and it's an office space. And Sister Pastor Taylor feeds the homeless every Wednesday morning in our facility, in our conference room. And so we work with Christians, Muslims, or whatever, because I have the more support from the Christians than the believers. But I know we're coming. It's not a slight, but we're coming. But I'm being from Philadelphia, where they killed the civil rights movement workers. I know the beast, so I'm not a. I try to work. I go to church. I go to the churches down there when I'm maybe not. Cause I live an hour and a half from the mosque, from my building in Jackson, so I'm not able to attend every week. So, but we making alliances all over the city of Jackson and Mississippi.
All praises due to Allah. Well, thank you, brother. Please get Brother Carlton. Please give him my information. I would love to strategize with you, Brother Sean.
Praise be to Allah.
Absolutely,
same here.
I most certainly will.
Thank you, brother.
Yes, sir. Assalamu
alaikum. And, Brother Kamal, we're down to the last minute. So I told you it was going to be fast, brother.
It did go fast. Yes, sir.
And I praise Allah that you really, I feel that you gave our listeners a very good overview and insight into what you're trying to do in Detroit. And I just want to say to brothers and sisters, number one, please go to his website, the Detroit Mecca Project.com. It was easy for me to find it. I just Googled Detroit Mecca Project, and I found it right away. Any closing statements you'd like to make to our listeners, Brother Kamal?
Well, I will say this, that as you can tell, I need a lot of help. We're looking for help. If Brother Kamal cannot do this by himself, I have people working with me right now, which I will mention. I have a good, beautiful partner working with me, Brother Milton Muhammad. I have Sister Nina Shabazz Muhammad working with me. I have Brother Halim, our great minister in the regional, Southwest regional area, working with me, because he is an urban planner. Sister Nina is an urban planner and a public administrator. So I have some people working with me, but we need more. And I will say this for just the believer that wants to separate, since that's what this show is about.
Let's separate by your property, where you are, and buy some in Detroit. Or if you want to move to Detroit, and let's take it over. Take it over. If you can't buy a property by yourself, 2, 3, 4, you all get together and buy a property. I've had believers do that with me too, because we might not be able to come up with $20,000, but we can come up with $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, and we can get some property like that. So thank
Praise
you very much.
Praise be to Allah. Praise be to Allah. Thank you very much, Brother Kamal. May Allah bless you and the project and the believers in the Detroit and all level with success. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, brother. And I want to thank the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan again for helping me and us move forward and helping and backing this project. Thank you.
Praise be to Allah. Thank you. As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum salam.
They went down to Peachtree. Headliner, I challenge you to a game of horseshoes. A game of horseshoes.
Now I see the importance of history. Why my people be in the mess that they be. Many journeys to freedom made in vain. By brothers on the corner playing ghetto games. I ask you, Lord, why you enlighten me without the enlightenment of all my folks. Instead, cause I set myself on a quest for truth. And he was there to quench my thirst. But I am still thirsty.